Nice. Go rehab.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. This is Harper on Nice Girl Rehab, episode 12, Self-Esteem Reboot. I'd like to tell you about my own personal experiences with low self-esteem and how I feel about the correlation between low self-esteem and people who are just generally bad in relationships. Nice girls, nice guys, people who have toxic types, people who truly want to share themselves and be in a relationship, a rewarding relationship, but can't seem to find themselves in that partner, or can't seem to find themselves in the relationship and with a healthy partner. I'd like to start off by saying that low self-esteem is one of those things that can kind of be like depression or any other kind of, I wouldn't classify it a mental illness, but it could be like any kind of mental illness where you really don't understand what's going on, but you know that something is off. You know something's wrong, and you just have this feeling of never being good enough or always trying to please other people because you feel like you're not good enough. Never doing things that you know would benefit you in life because you feel like you're not good enough. Looking in the mirror and thinking, man, if only I could be this person, or if only I could get rid of this thing on my body, it would make me a more successful individual. And it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy and a vicious cycle, because the people who are hardest on themselves, including me, are usually the ones with low self-esteem. And when you have low self-esteem, it's very easy to turn that finger and point at yourself. You could just say something like, well, of course I have low self-esteem because I'm always screwing this up, or every time I try to talk to people, I just fumble my words around and I can never be super suave, or I can never say the most eloquent things that come into my mind. You could always point the finger and say, why is it so hard for me? Why is it so hard for me to be confident like everyone else? Why am I such a fuck up? This shouldn't be so hard. I don't understand why I hate myself so much. And because you're pointing the finger at yourself and blaming yourself for having low self-esteem, you have low self-esteem. And in that way, it is a vicious cycle. So how does someone who knows that they have low self-esteem, how does someone who knows this take necessary steps to change their life for the better? And not in a way that just seems super surface and dumb, like those affirmations you say in the mirror 5 times a day to tell you, yes, I am beautiful. Yes, people love me. Doesn't really matter how many times you say that to yourself, or the fake it till you make it motto that I hear all the time, that I myself have tried multiple times. It just doesn't work. It's something that has to be genuine. It's like telling somebody that you love their dress when really you don't, and you're just trying to be nice and give a compliment. That person knows that it's a surface compliment. The same thing goes with confidence and self-esteem. If you try to fake it till you make it, really, you can see through your bullshit. You are the one who knows that you are insincere in your quest to actually truly be confident, and you know it's surface. So it just crumbles and you go back to your old ways of hating yourself and also feeling kind of dumb for sitting in front of a mirror and saying, I love myself 5 times a day. I know, because I did things like that, and I would listen to those self-help seminars and all kinds of other junk, and it was nice to listen to these things and pretend like I could be confident. And that's not to say that I had some sense of confidence. I kind of did with certain things in certain areas in my life. And some parts of my body I liked, and I was not afraid to show them off in provocative clothing or nice looking clothing or whatever. And at parties, I wasn't afraid at some times to voice my opinion or to speak to people. And even if I had fuck ups in my conversations, I would try not to dwell on them and let them roll off my back. But deep down inside, I knew that there was this angry little monster that I was trying to ignore and hide away from everybody else, that I couldn't hide any longer because it was going to come out. And the one way that it came out was through my relationships. I struggled identifying with people who just seemed like they made it easy. They could be with anybody and it was a perfect and healthy relationship, whereas I was struggling in all of my relationships. It seemed like any guy that I was interested in wasn't interested in me, or they just weren't right for me. They were a toxic type, and I knew it, and I knew that the type of people I was attracting was in some way a direct connection to how I felt inside. And I feel that's the same way with a lot of people who are nice girls, nice guys, incels, what have you. People who generally just aren't very good in relationships or get themselves in patterns of behavior that are pretty toxic and negative to begin with. And I just want to say that anybody who is struggling with low self-esteem, please, please, please understand that this is something that happens to everyone. And I mean everyone. Unless you have some sort of brain damage that causes you to think that you're the most beautiful and perfect person in the world, which sometimes, yes, I did wish that I had something like that, a magical pill that would make me think I'm fucking prima donna of the universe. You're still going to have insecure moments. You're still going to think that you are shit sometimes, and that's perfectly normal, and that's human. I think it's easy to point the blame on yourself for things like that, but not easy to take responsibility and knowing that you can change your behavior. Think of it like this. Having low self-esteem is kind of like programming. Think of yourself instead as something like a computer. No, you're not cold and emotionless and spewing out all kinds of equations and whatever else computers do. But just think of it this way. Instead of thinking you're just a low and pathetic person, think of yourself as a computer who's gone through life and has basically been programmed. So just having varieties of different programs put into you. And these programs are what create your behaviors. And after years and years and years of running these programs, running these patterns constantly in your life, in some way it kind of creates who you are, or at least the illusion of who you are. So after a point in time when you realize that these programs really aren't helping you, you can make a decision. Do I continue to use these programs that are outdated and wasting space and making me feel bad? Or do I continue to do what I'm doing because it's easier? Now, deprogramming yourself or rebooting yourself as a human computer is pretty hard. There are a lot of things that you have to consider, and it's not easy to actually take responsibility for the things happening in your life. But I will tell you, it is easier to look at it in this way instead of thinking this is just something that I'm going through and it'll go away if I just fake it till I make it, or it'll go away eventually, I'll just continue with the same patterns of behavior that I've been doing before. If you actually take the time to give responsibility to yourself in the fact that you have been programmed in this way, and not blaming your environment or your family or anything like that. Just seeing it as it is what it is. And the fact that you do have patterns of behavior that have caused some problems in relating to other people and your relationships. So once you get that and you understand that you do hold responsibility for your patterns of behavior, now is the chance to change if you want. How do you go about changing a lifetime of programming, of going through certain motions in any kind of relationship with yourself or with other people? In abusive ways, toxic ways, maybe ways where you want to be a people pleaser because you have this toxic view of yourself. I think the easiest way is to tackle your self-esteem first. Easiest, simplest, and extremely hard. Kind of, a double entendre, I think. But at the same time, your self-esteem is very important when it comes to all aspects of life, not just relationships, but your work life, your family life, your finances, everything. So, what do we do? And I'm not trying to say people who do affirmations in the mirror or listen to self-help enthusiasts are bad people or stupid. They're not. And there's a reason why there's so many of these resources available, because they work for somebody. They didn't work for me. And I'm only speaking on my own experience. So by all means, if that's something that you want to do and you feel does help you in a way to combat your low self-esteem, do it. Anything that you can do that gives you joy, brings you happiness, ignites your passion, do those things, because those things will help you with your self-esteem. So, what did I do when I realized that my patterns of behavior were causing all of these characteristics? Well, I took responsibility, like I'd said before. I realized that I was programming myself to be a version of myself I really didn't like looking at in the mirror. And because I didn't like this version of myself, it was actually competing against the version I wanted to be. That difference was making me feel very low about myself. And in turn, I was projecting this person who really didn't want to be loved or didn't want to be heard or seen. That was very hard for me to realize, and one of the hardest years of my life was realizing that for so long I wasn't loving myself. After this realization, I decided that I would take habits, I'd take steps to change my habits slowly. And it's good to go into this with, a pretty realistic mindset. I've been on this earth for 26 years, and within 24 of those years, I have had enough time to develop these really negative behaviors and habits. So I knew going into this that me just realizing that I had bad habits was not going to be enough to change. And even if I did take steps to change, a couple months, a couple weeks, a couple years wouldn't be enough to really drive home that change. I knew this was going to be a lifestyle approach and that I would be working for this for a very long time. At least 25 years or 24 years was something that I was expecting. Because it took that much time for me to program myself, it would take that much time for me to deprogram myself. So I tried to take it a little bit easier. And I did little things. I would do things like, I noticed when I was at my lowest point, I stopped taking care of myself in terms of my physical appearance. I would definitely bathe, but maybe I wouldn't spruce up my hair. I would go a couple days or weeks without washing my hair, or I wouldn't put on makeup as much as I used to. That's just something that I like to do and makes me feel good about myself. And it was something that I was slacking on. Or going to the gym, that was something that I wanted to do and made me happy and made me feel good about myself. And when I was in my state of having really low self-esteem, depression, and bad relationships, I didn't feel like going to the gym. I also took up more bad habits like staying out late, not sleeping as much, partying, and drinking. So that kind of didn't help as well in terms of my health and my appearance. So little steps that I took was once a week I would go out to Goodwill, some place that was pretty cheap. I was in college at the time, so I didn't have enough money to really lay down some serious cash on some really nice clothes. But I would go to Goodwill, like a nice Goodwill, preferably the one where all the rich people dump all their clothes at. And I would find a dress. And at the time, I was almost the heaviest that I had been in a while. And a dress was just something that I felt I couldn't wear because I was at an uncomfortable size. I didn't like my arms. I didn't like my legs. And usually dresses show that kind of skin. And I was just kind of the girl who wore yoga pants, leggings, a shirt, something to hide myself, basically. So I would go to Goodwill and try to find a really nice dress that I liked, and I would try it on. And if it didn't fit or if I didn't feel good in it, I wouldn't buy it. I would only buy a dress that I felt really comfortable in and that I felt like I somewhat looked pretty hot in. And I'd buy it, and I would at least once a week wear that dress. And that's a pretty simple thing to do. I know for some people, especially people who are overweight or struggling with body issues, going to the dressing room and trying on clothes is almost a traumatic experience. And for me, I kind of got over that stage. I'd had that stage many moons ago. I've been fluctuating in weight all my life. And even when I was skinny, I still had moments of that in the dressing room. So if that's not something for you, then definitely don't do that. But I would suggest at some point buying something that you like, that you would wear, or something that just brings you joy and makes you feel a little bit better. Whether it's, I don't know, a new watch or a dress like me, or you can make yourself a bracelet. The act of making something for yourself is probably more powerful than just buying something. So making yourself a bracelet or making yourself, knitting yourself a hat, something like that, which is cool because you get a new skill as well. But anything like that, just that you can wear that brightens up your day a little bit. And it can even be kind of silly, you know, like buying a pair of like alien sunglasses or something, or some really cool gothic combat platform boots. Something that really stands out, and if you wear it, it kind of forces you to have some sense of confidence. So I started doing that, and then I also started to realize that when I slowly started to build up a little bit more confidence, I was taking care of myself in terms of doing my hair or putting on makeup or just kind of smiling, even smiling. I know reading studies, some of the studies show that even just smiling or suggesting happiness on your face actually brings out that serotonin, those good feeling chemicals into your brain, and can kind of force your brain to change. So just try that too. That's something that actually does kind of work. Or laughing. I know laughing is hard to do on command, but just watching a funny movie or something like that and laughing, or just thinking of something funny that's happened in your life recently and laughing, can really brighten up the mood as well. Now, I understand with that the body and the mind do have a connection. So, faking it till you make it in some ways has somewhat of a true statement. But like I said, if you don't feel genuine and you're not going into it in a genuine way, you're just leading yourself on, and you can't really do that to yourself. You can do that to other people. You can't do that to yourself. You can't kid yourself. So the body and mind connection is important. And with the smiling technique, your body is sending those good feelings to your brain, and your brain sending it to your body, and it kind of balances itself out. So you can do things like, and I know for most people, when they get in a low slump or if they have low self-esteem in general, it does show in their appearance. For me, it shows in my appearance, where I said I wasn't taking care of myself in terms of my hair and my makeup and whatever, dressing, but also my body. I was not eating correctly. I was drinking a lot. I put on quite a few pounds being in college and drinking and partying and not sleeping enough. So getting good sleep, drinking enough water, and even basic exercise, and I mean minimal, just walking is good enough. Just to get yourself active and going, that brings up those good chemicals into your body and kind of dispels all of that backup, that bad toxic stuff that we carry, and the food that we eat and the alcohol we drink and everything, and just kind of releases it all out, filters it out. So I started to do that. I started to realize that my feelings of low self-esteem were correlated as well with my physical health. So I decided to join a roller derby team. It's just pretty extreme. But it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. I learned a lot. I learned a new skill. I met really cool people, and they were getting me out in social situations that I wasn't putting myself out in, and I was kind of forced to do it. But I was around supportive women who really did have confidence and were showing it off, kicking ass on the rink and taking names every single day in their bouts. And they were teaching me how to skate. And me just learning a new skill, even if I was failing at it, actually did bring up my confidence a little bit more. The exercise as well, it was very, very extensive in terms of physical exertion, and it was intense at times. And the fact that I could get through practice and be super sweaty and still happy actually did boost up my confidence even more, because I was pretty out of shape, and me keeping up with these badass women made me feel that much better. Another thing, healthy eating, the things that you eat. I definitely believe that the things that you eat affect your mood. If you eat a super greasy cheeseburger with fries and soda and more sugar on top of that, you're just gonna feel like going to sleep. Your body just doesn't want to do anything with that. It's not very nutritional. It is high caloric, but at the same time, you're not getting the nutrients, the minerals and the vitamins and things like that that you need. And that was something that was happening to me as well, because I was going out to eat all the time and I was drinking. I remember that 5 o'clock, or what is it, 3 o'clock feeling really, really well. I would go to work and I would eat whatever lunch I had at the college, which was probably like Chick-fil-A or something. And then literally 10 minutes after eating lunch, I would be falling asleep at the computer at work because I was so tired and had the itis, is what a lot of people in the Black community like to call it. But yeah, I had a food coma all the time. To the point where I was actually kind of concerned that I was diabetic, because I was like, what the hell? I shouldn't be this tired after eating. This is crazy. I should be energized. And that's how you should be, you know? Just slowly, 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 slowly. Cannot suggest anymore. Very slowly. add in fruits and vegetables to your diet. Nice, good sources of protein. And just cut down on the sugar. You don't have to eat ice cream every single day or every other day like I was doing, eating a pint of ice cream literally every single day. You don't have to do that. It's a lot of sugar, and sugar definitely causes your brain to spike. You've got in your body, it spikes your blood sugar, and then when your blood sugar goes down, we all know that crashing feeling. It sucks. And you get that high and low every single day. It's a lot to go through. I'd also like to say that the high and low in blood sugar can somewhat be correlated to your emotional state and relationships, if you think about it. If you're at your high state, you're going to be happy, you're going to say hi to people, you're going to be more likely to get out there and talk to people and want to be social and interactive. When you're at your low state, you're sluggish, you can't really think very well, you can't talk to people very well, you can't articulate yourself, you want to go to sleep, you're cranky, you don't want to be bothered, and that's not very attractive. And it's not going to lead you to have good relationships with people if you're always fucking yelling at them all the time or sleeping. So that's pretty important to consider as well. And something that you can actually do and see yourself changing. You can see yourself changing when you're losing weight, and that is a confidence boost for sure. But then also the fact that you see yourself doing something and actually getting out there and trying to do something is just as motivational as standing in front of a mirror saying, I love myself. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm an action-oriented person, and me just talking to myself all day about doing something isn't going to make me very confident. But me talking about it and actually putting it into action, that's something that I feel a little bit better about because I feel like I am taking steps. And I think that a lot of people are like that. And a lot of people want to see results, and we're all pretty impatient, but at least those first couple steps of doing these things and changing your life and slowly changing your habits is what helps bring it about much more quicker and brings about a change in your emotional state. I forgot what it was. I think it was like there's a certain amount of weeks that you do something and it basically becomes a new habit. Let me look at amount of weeks that you do something and it turns into a habit. So I had been reading about this too, and it's pretty important because it also drives home that thing of it's easy to program yourself to do something, and it's way harder to deprogram yourself or change your habits. It says, on average, it takes more than 2 months before a new behavior becomes automatic. 66 days to be exact. This is through James Clear that I'm reading, jamesclear.com. It's probably on Wikipedia as well. But it takes 2 months, basically. But then it says in Lally's study, it took anywhere from 18 days to 254 days for people to form a new habit. So just to bring this about in the things that I said before, it takes time to actually change your behaviors and your habits. And that's something to consider because a lot of people will try and they get impatient and they don't think about the fact that, yes, it took you years to develop a certain way of thinking and a certain way of behaving around other people. It's going to take you much longer to not only deprogram yourself, but actually put in place a new habit to change it all around. So just consider that. What else did I do? So, basically, I would say for this whole thing, what works for me and what I found to kind of actually put forth more results in terms of building my self-esteem was setting really, really tiny goals. the tiniest goals that you could possibly set that you know for sure you're going to succeed at. And just with those tiny goals, constantly setting those tiny goals and fulfilling those goals and seeing yourself doing something and actually finishing it, that is what can build your self-esteem really quickly. Let me give you an example. So, and this could be something super ridiculous, just something that you know is not way up in the sky, gonna take a long time to do, you may or may not succeed at it. So one goal that I set for myself, which was pretty, it sounds pretty ridiculous, but I'll tell you, it's getting up out of bed. Literally, just every single day to get up out of bed. And I don't even know if I said where to go, just getting out of the bed, basically. So every morning when I would wake up and I was groggy and sleepy and frustrated because I didn't have any sleep, I was drinking all weekend, I was studying for exams, I was upset with this guy who basically I felt like used me and fighting with him, whatever. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd stare at the ceiling and I would feel like, oh my God, another fucking day. I don't want to do this. And then I would think about my tiny little goal that I set for myself, which sometimes feels like moving a mountain for sure. And I would be like, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm just going to get up and get out of bed. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going to get out of bed. And me just doing that was pretty powerful because it gave me motivation. It gave me the motivation of saying, you know what, if I can even get out of bed, I'm accepting the fact that today is another day and whatever happens, happens. So you could also set tiny goals like, I don't know, like saying hi to someone, saying hi to one person, or tiny goal of looking in the mirror, looking at your face or your body, and picking one body part that you appreciate. And not just for its physical appearance, but also its ability. Looking at yourself and saying, holy shit, I've got some strong ass legs, and these legs take me everywhere, and I'm so thankful that I have these legs. Speaking of thankful, I have something that I like to do as well called gratitude checks. And basically with gratitude checks, it could be anything. It could be like, I'm breathing today and I'm grateful that I'm breathing. But just think of something that you can be thankful for or you're grateful for in your life. And I would say every week, just choose one day, or you could even do every single day if you want, choose one time in the day to set aside time for meditation. And your meditation is basically this gratitude check. And you think about all the things in your life. And for most people, including me, the first things that I like to think about are all the things that are wrong with my life. But with the gratitude check, you stop, you listen, and you let go. And you take a moment to at least think of three things that you truly, genuinely are grateful for in your life. I'm gonna do one right now, actually. So, I am doing a gratitude check, and I am grateful today for speaking with you guys and having this podcast and doing this podcast religiously and doing it, posting it every Saturday for people to listen to. I see the numbers, the plays of people, and I don't know where you guys are, who you are, where you're from, but I'm grateful that I can share my stories with my listeners and that they are listening to these things. And regardless of whether you get anything out of it or not, I'm grateful to have you here with me. Another thing that I'm grateful for is family. Ever since being out of college, I was away from my family for a very long time, and I only had a little bit of time to talk to them. And it's so much different when you're talking to someone on the phone compared to being with them physically. And my baby sister had a birthday. My brother also had a birthday. And I was able to buy my sister a birthday present. And I am poor as hell. And my baby sister knows that, you know, I can't always get her things, but she appreciates the fact that I call her and say happy birthday to her. This was the one time that I was able to buy her something. So I bought her some lip gloss because she likes to be fabulous. And I actually did an art print. I'm a graphic designer and I do art prints. And I had an art print of some lips that I really thought would be cool for her to put up in her room. So I sent those to her and she really liked them. And I was grateful for the opportunity to actually give her a gift and go to my brother's costume party. His birthday is on Halloween, but he's celebrating it early, and I was able to be there and celebrate with him and his girlfriend and his friends, so I'm thankful for that. What else? I think this is more than three, but I like doing these gratitude checks. I'm grateful for where I'm at in my life right now. I know that it's been a long road and it will continue to be a long journey, but I'm grateful for the process and the fact that every single day I know that I'm going somewhere and I'm trying and that I do have a passion, I have a purpose. I may not have found exactly how to get to that point yet, but I'm grateful for the fact that I can experience my life and enjoy it. And even in my hard moments, I'm able to learn from them and share them. So that's my gratitude check. And it's kind of a little homework assignment that I want to give to you as well. And you can take some of these little tips that I've given you today and practice them. And you can even do these things once a week. For me, I have a pretty hectic lifestyle right now, but I like to take one day, usually Sunday. It's like the day of rest for everyone, it seems, but I like to call it self-care Sunday, and I set aside one day to do my gratitude checks or to buy something nice for myself or to give myself a pedicure or to, just tell someone I love them and be genuine about it, or tell myself I love myself. It's always good to do all of these things, and setting these goals, those tiny goals, and succeeding at those tiny goals, and one day those tiny goals become medium goals, and those medium goals become big goals, and sooner or later you start to realize that you can do this, you can do the things that you want to do in your life, you can be that person who actually loves the way that you look, and you can be that person who actually has enough self-respect and self-love for yourself that at some point you can have a healthy relationship with other people. You can relate to other people. I think another thing that comes with being a nice girl, nice guy, incel, what have you, is this kind of subconscious idea that people can't change, including yourself. If you're a nice girl, nice guy, incel, you feel like, I can't change, this is just who I am, and people have to accept that. And if people can't accept that, that makes me angry because this is me. Or you'll think, all of these people that I have in my life, they're just, you know, so annoying, or they're so toxic, or why am I always around these people who do these things, and I constantly let them get away with it, or whatever. You say, these people can't change, I can't change, these people can't change, this is just a way of life. What you'll start to realize when you do start to get self-confidence and you do start to change these habits that you've formed for yourself, that you start to have more empathy or sympathy, I would say empathy, it's a stronger emotion, for people who aren't in a good spot, for people who have used you, or who have in some way shared the same kind of negative behaviors that you have. And yeah, some people don't want to change, but I know because I have the ability to change, and I have, that other people can. So that rhetoric that I used to have in my mind all the time about I can't change, this is just who I am, and people have to like it, it doesn't exist anymore. Because it's not true. You can change. You can change for the worst, and you can change for the better. Quite frankly, I'd like to change for the better, and I hope you do too. So this is all I have to say about your self-esteem reboot. All you human computers out there, just shut her down and bring her back up. Do all these little steps, even once a week, or just take 1 hour or 1 minute or whatever time that you have to just implement these things, and they start to become habits. Within 2 months, you'll have a new habit. You'll have a new way of looking at yourself. You'll have a new way of looking at other people. And even those simple little changes that you make in your life can have a really big impact on everyone else's life. So, I hope you all enjoyed this episode, and I would love to hear from you all. I still have my email. It's nicegirlrehab@gmail.com. Again, nicegirlrehab@gmail.com. And let me know if these experiences and these things that I've told you about, if you've implemented in your life, and if you've actually benefited from them. I'd like to hear from people who do the affirmations as well, and see if those actually do help you in life. And yeah, stick around for next week's episode of Nice Girl Rehab. Thank you guys very much. Be safe out there, babes. And good night.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.